Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Dan Marino.
Hi, this is Larry Zonka.
Hi, I'm Zach Thomas of the Miami Dolphins.
This is Mark Super Duper.
I'm John Offerdahl.
This is Paul Warfield.
Hi, this is Nick Bonacani.
This is Jake Scott.
Gary Apremian.
Dick Anderson.
Larry Little.
Mercury Morris.
Tom Vigorito.
This is Don Strachan.
Don Nottingham.
Hey, this is A.J. Dewey.
Otto Stowe. Mike Colon.
Doug Kurzan for the 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins.
This is Marlon the Magician Briscoe.
This is Mark Ingram.
I'm Jim Crash Jensen.
This is Don Shula, and I listen to the Pat Catello Show.
It's the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello. Join us now as we talk Dolphins football or call in live with your questions or comments. And now, here's your host, Pat Catello.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Miami Dolphins Legend Show. I'm your host, Pat Catello. I'll be joined alongside Rich Van Zant as Wild Card Weekend has completed. And it was a very exciting six-game plate that the NFL put across for Saturday and Sunday, to say the least. So those six games in the books, and it was... I guess filled with a lot of what you expected, maybe some of what you didn't, but you know, not that much. I guess for Dolphin fans, you know, the biggest thing is the Buffalo Bills, and would they continue to do, you know, what they kind of did to the Dolphins in Week 17? And I guess the answer to that is yes, although the Indianapolis Colts really played certainly well enough to win that game, and could have won that game, and maybe should have won that game. But the Bills hold on 27-24 as the veteran Phillip Rivers comes up short in that game. And then, of course, on the other AFC part of it, you see the Baltimore Ravens against Tennessee, which I know a lot of people, including Rich, thought that was going to be the you know, the game of the weekend, and it probably should have been, but Baltimore just really showing that, you know, that they are one of, if not the hottest team in football right now. And you know, Lamar Jackson with a standout game, just incredible there. And they beat Tennessee in Tennessee 20-13. And then the night game for the AFC, you had Cleveland at Pittsburgh, and this is an interesting one because you know, the Steelers sat everybody, and then they come back, and the Cleveland has really not had any luck beating them, but they beat them 48-37 in what could be, you know, it really was a blowout. It shouldn't have even been that close score-wise. And you had Roethlisberger on the bench in tears, which, you know, may be tipping off something more than we know, at least maybe for his time in Pittsburgh, maybe for his time in the NFL. So that's how the AFC went. And, of course, in the NFC, there were some upsets, I guess. The Rams pretty much keeping Seattle in check. Seattle did not look right. They beat them 30-20, so the Rams will advance. And Brady playing an Alex Smith-less Washington team, they win this game pretty handily, 31-23, although Washington did have their moments in there where it looked like Heinicke might come in and be able to tie the score, but just not able to. And then, of course, New Orleans beating Chicago 21-9 in a game of chances that were just blown as Drew Brees advances there. So that's what happened in the NFL. But as usual, the talk, you know, the Dolphins are always in the news, and they continue to be. Chan Gailey announced his resignation during the week, and that big glow that you've seen in the sky was not the sun. That was Rich's teeth as he heard the news from that. So that's the Chan Gailey era officially ends, and they also, Marion Hobby, the defensive line coach, they agree to part ways. And You know, the big news, I guess, would be the rumors that are going around. Now, for many listeners of the show, you know that we talk a lot of other players in the league, and of course, for people who listen to us for a long time know that I've been a big advocate of Deshaun Watson. I think Deshaun Watson is a top-notch quarterback, top-tier. I would say, you know, you take Brady and Breeze out of the mix. You know, anybody over 40, you know, let's just take them aside. But for the active guys playing right now, you know, you have obviously Aaron Rodgers and you have Patrick Mahomes. I think that's tier one. And then, you know, maybe you go tier two, because I think I would still put, you know, Lamar Jackson down on that two tier. And I put Deshaun Watson in that grouping as well. And the rumors there have gone on, you know, that he is disgruntled, may be available. So early in the week, me and Rich started our debate on this. And, yes, it became certainly of what you would call animated. And so, Rich, I say to you as we continue in here. Now, originally you had told me about the breaking story, which I had known and has since blown up. And you had said that if it was for it was just for a Tua to Deshaun trade, basically. And you thought that they were crazy. You wanted no part of that. Me and you kind of went at it. I don't think it would be possible to get him just for that. I never thought it was. But even knowing that, you still thought it was crazy. So I guess we take the elephant out of the room immediately. You've had 24 hours to sleep on this. Where do you come in on this right now?
First of all, you know why he's disgruntled?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Because I know part of why.
He wasn't involved
in the GM.
In picking the new GM. But why would a player be picking a GM?
Because I think that what started it all was from the ownership when the original GM was hired and they passed over a few people to bring him in. He was aggravated at the original thing. And so now when the second part
been involved. I never heard of a player ever been consulted on who the next GM is. Ever. I mean, we had the best quarterback of all time. They didn't even consult him on who the next coach should be. I mean, really? So you got a guy who thinks he deserves to know to pick the next GM of $1 billion?
So that's where you're going with this? Out of the gate? That's where you're going with this?
I don't like that. Number one, I think the guy should be worried about playing football. Number one, not worried about.
So you don't think Aaron Rodgers has any say in what he did there, getting a coach knocked out, a Super Bowl winning coach knocked out of there, and you don't think Aaron Rodgers has any say on a GM?
I've never heard of a player pick a GM ever. Never. Ever.
Oh, so you don't think Aaron Rodgers has any say in that? You don't think Aaron Rodgers has any say?
No.
No, not at all.
I've never heard of that ever in my life. Never.
Okay. Okay, well,
never.
I think there's plenty of top quarterbacks that have had their say when it comes to areas like that directly involved.
Coaches, 100%. I've never heard of a player have anything to do with picking a GM. Never.
Okay, so you went on with this GM thing for 3-4 minutes now.
Here's the other thing. One, I think it's ridiculous. You see what they want? They want they want Tua, our third pick that they got from him, Xavier Howard, and another player. Yeah, good luck.
Okay, now wait a minute. I'm going to stop you right there because me and you had a debate, and it was just about. Wait,
Tua.
No.
Hold on.
That's all we're talking about now. That's all we're talking about now, because yesterday I said to you they would never get a one-on-one, and you yelled at me. You were saying, berated me, that it was absolutely one-on-one, and that was all we were talking about. And I told you, you'd never get it one-on-one. And the debate we had was just strictly one-on-one. Exactly.
And here's the other case. The one-on-one, if it was just one-on-one, I don't want him because his contract would ruin your whole team. His contract is ridiculous.
His contract is actually not ridiculous when you look at what it has to go as far as the cap and what other top players of his caliber quarterback-wise are getting. It's really not. He's got –
We're not at that point yet.
But we would be at that point.
Well, not – how do you know? You don't know what your situation is going to be in 3 years. You don't know that.
I know what our situation is now.
You're building a team. Now you're going to put the emergency brake on now, and $170 million out the window for one player.
Well, first of all, it's 156 million was the contract, but the signing bonus is included with that. That's already taken out. Okay, so his average salary is 39 million, but it's broken up. So basically, when you look at what it would cost per year, it gets broken down to where 2021 would be $10 million. Okay, and then the big hit comes in 22, and then it lowers again to 20 in 23. Okay, so it's actually friendly in that capacity. You could also rework it to make it more cap friendly for you. You could certainly do that. But as far as a contract of a franchise quarterback, it's really not something that would be absolutely destructive when you look at what the other top-notch quarterbacks like Mahomes and guys like that are getting. So the contract part of it, yeah, if you hit on, say, Tua or anybody and you're going to have to make that move, then, you know, you're going to have to dish out big-time money. I mean, you see what happened with Dallas when that fell apart. So you're not going to get a franchise quarterback without these big contracts, right? It's not going to exist.
It's not going to exist, but we don't have to do that for probably 3 to 4 years.
Why do you say that, though? If you're not doing that for 3 to 4 years, you're not winning for 3 to 4 years. I mean, you what do you think? You think you're going to...
Tua's rookie deal isn't up for 3 to 4 years. So if we stay where we are now and he develops, we're not going to be in that situation where we have to, you know, overpay him for a while. You know? You do this now, you don't have that team yet. You know, they didn't give Mahomes the money before they won the Super Bowl. They got it after they won the Super Bowl. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yes, I understand what you're saying
now,
there.
This dinner isn't cooked yet, okay? We're not done yet. We're basically just getting the appetizers out, okay? You get him now, it's going to hamstring your rest of your freaking, you know, your progress, you know? But right now, we stay where we are. We could be getting the best receiver in the draft for the last 8 years, you know?
Okay, but Rich.
And you can start building this team. You stop all this now, and you give up assets, draft picks, and everything for one position.
No, but we're not talking about that, though. But we're not talking about that. We were talking about straight up. So you could still get your wide receiver, and you still are adamant against it. And that's where I think you're crazy. That was our debate.
That's fine. That's fine. But I still think it's too much money that he's making, and I don't want an activism quarterback. I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay.
So
now we're getting somewhere. Activism quarterback.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Okay, but
before he's a quarterback.
Okay, but do you think that has affected? Obviously, none of his play on the field has been affected. He was there 4 years, okay? A lot of people say that he had the best untalked-about season that a quarterback's had in two decades this year. I mean, he's on a team that was dismantled, right? He almost throws for 5,000 yards, 48-23, actually, okay? He throws for 33 touchdowns. And he makes the Pro Bowl this year. And in fact, he's made the Pro Bowl the last 3 years in a row. I mean, the guy plays at certainly a super high level. So the activism part of it, I can understand what you're saying, but this hasn't come out until now, until the season's over, and they're looking to hire a new coach and a new GM.
Well, he was
so it hasn't really affected his play.
He was fighting with – yeah, no, maybe not. Who knows, though? I don't know. I don't watch the Texans enough to tell you, you know, look, Roethlisberger threw for 500 yards yesterday and he had an awful game. So, you know, you got to watch it. Times yards are misleading.
Yeah,
you
I'm not just going by yards. Rich, the guy's made the Pro Bowl 3 years in a row. The guy's phenomenal. You know I've always been high on this guy.
Was it a one-game year he made the Pro Bowl because five guys said no? You know, was it one of
those
No,
I don't believe
like
so. You said that, but I don't believe that's the case. I really don't. The guy's thrown for like... I really don't believe that that's the case. I understand people do back into Pro Bowls. I get that. But this guy, I really don't think you're giving him the credit for the play that he's put. And you know I've always said this guy is a – I think
and
he's
also,
a franchise
player. You know what I said, too? You know my other problem, too? I have more loyalty than this organization has. You draft somebody number five, you don't give up on this guy after a year. And you know I wasn't the biggest Tua guy in the world either. You know?
Okay, well,
but
let me ask
you
this,
somebody
then.
After a year, where I think
okay, let me ask you this, though.
You know, pretty goddamn good for having freaking hip surgery, two ankle surgeries, and coming into a situation mid through the year. You know,
fair enough. But let me
rookie season.
Fair enough, but let me reiterate that our debate and this debate right now is a very simple debate of if you could trade Tua for Watson straight up, and you are adamantly against that, or at least you were yesterday. And that's my only debate with it. Okay, so my point. Okay, so here's my point now. How long would it take Tua to get to Watson's level if everything panned out? And this, and I like Tua. I'm not giving up on Tua. I'm strictly talking about from a Watson Tua perspective. How long would it take Tua to get to Watson's level?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I would let you know next year. I mean, if you don't see vast improvements, it may never happen.
But would
I don't
you?
Know.
But
I,
right,
I but
certainly,
the guy was coming off major surgery, and he had no.
It certainly may never happen. Right, it certainly may never happen. I mean, but you have to figure it's going to take a few years, right? If that even happens, and that's my point. If you could get somebody at Watson's level right now. You say your piece is away. I think if you added Watson and made the right moves in the draft in the offseason, I think you're there now. And if not now, like not this year coming up, the next year after that. I think you could. I think in this NFL, you turn things around that quickly. And I think they have pieces now that if they added a franchise quarterback of that level and they were able to get a wide receiver of that caliber and make the other draft picks and moves they have to in the offseason, I think you're there now. Like, immediately. And if you don't go after next year, like Super Bowl wise, I think that the year after that, for sure. So that's my point. Like, if you really want to win, then there's no easier path or no more secure path than that. And you say, you know, you're a loyal guy. I get you. I understand that. And I am a loyal guy too. But if I'm able to 1 year swap a franchise quarterback for the guy I just took. And let, you know, him go there to develop. I'm taking the sure thing, and I think this team would be, you know, monumentally on task to be where you've dreamed of being very quickly if you make the right moves. And one of them is almost a secure move. If the wide receiver you love turns out to be, you know, that caliber, I mean, you are so far ahead of the curve at that point. You know, you really could. And that's my point in there. Now, that being said, Rich, I didn't believe yesterday. I don't think there's any chance that that's going to happen. I mean, it would depend on how disgruntled he is. He would have to be extremely disgruntled. Now, he said he would waive the trade clause to go to Miami. That's how this all started. But I don't believe you're getting him straight up for Tua. Now, if you start adding players and picks and stuff like that, now my point of it changes. How much it changes, you know, it depends on a lot of things. You want to talk about the 3 pick, it changes a lot. You want to talk about the 18th pick, I still might be open to it. You want to talk about Xavier Howard and the 18th pick, I'm not so much. But that's my point on this whole thing. Do you understand where I'm coming from of why I was so adamant on a straight-up trade? I mean, straight-up trade is a lot different, Rich. Straight-up trade puts you in exactly the same place you are with a franchise quarterback who's proven high quality of football right out of the gate next season.
Well, that's,
and all
you know,
the
that's
moves that you can make.
That's what Mortensen was saying in the beginning, that it was straight up. And then later on, he comes on again online and says, like, then he adds all this other crap that they want. And I'm like, you got to be out of your mind. And that's where I heard Xavier Howard, the number 3, Tua, and then other assets. Like, what else do you want? You want a piece of the stadium parking? What else you want?
Oh, I agree. It's a monumental thing, and there's a lot more that would be added on top of that. There's no doubt about it. But me and you went at it because I couldn't understand how straight up you were so against it. I really, to me, that was nonsensical. I think that's a no-brainer, straight up. But, I don't believe that would happen. It would have to be really, really bad in Houston, and I think they'll make that much better before that happens, even if he does leave. All right, quick break, back after this.
When the autumn mist is drawing near, and you hear the whistle sound and the crowd cheer, you'll know it's that special time once again for head-to-head combat and first and 10. So follow those that are in the know and listen to Pat and Rich and the Legends Show. All episodes of the Pat Catello Show available now on iTunes.
Hi, I'm Zach Thomas of the Miami Dolphins, and you're listening to the Pat Catello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello, sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Catello.
At midnight, trying to get my courage up. There was this long, lovely dancer in a little club downtown. Loved to watch her do her stuff. Through the long sleep, body softly swaying to that smoky beat down on Main Street. Down on Main Street.
Okay, welcome back to the Miami Dolphins Legends Show. Pat Catello, Rich Van Zant coming at you. Just a reminder, you can send us any questions or comments, patcatelloshow@yahoo.com, and check us out on iTunes. Just go right to the iTunes store, and you can get Pat Catello Show sent right onto your phone with any updates, and if you want any archive shows and anything, you get them right there as well. So you can hear Rich's reaction as there was a lot of people, I think, are looking forward to hearing your take on a lot of what went on, because this was a very exciting week, Rich, weekend in the NFL. Before we get to the other games, though, we did have some Dolphin news in addition, and one of it was that the All-Pros were announced, and Xavien Howard and Jason Sanders both make first-team All-Pro, and that's the first time we've had two teammates make first-team All-Pro since Zach and JT in 2006.
Sanders makes All-Pro, but he didn't make the Pro Bowl.
Right. That's my question to you. Now, isn't it ironic that All-Pro is actually more influential and holds more stock on your resume, and you get a kicker that's named All-Pro, but he doesn't make the Pro Bowl. It's just very, very ironic. And Jakeem Grant also named second-team All-Pro, so I figured you would like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, my vote was for that.
Did you hear that? That was a pin dropping, everybody. So I
didn't get my no vote on that one.
You underestimated him.
It wasn't for a receiver, I guess, huh?
No, it wasn't. But when he got hurt, yeah. I think it affected the team a lot more than you want to admit. I do. Now, Chan Gailey resigned, so we all heard this gigantic, I assume, a breath of fresh air that we heard.
I'm still trying to figure out why he was hired. Never mind, he resigned.
Yeah, I tried to explain that to you three times, so I'm just going to move on. I'm done with it now. But you and my son, I'm so glad this guy is gone, because I got to be honest with you, the mental torture I've put up with, as if I hired this man, it's just too much for me to bear. I'm getting it from both sides.
I saw this show 20 years ago and it was canceled, okay? Why do I got to look at it again? You know?
Yes. I agree. And
it's like that
Zach Thomas
spit off a sign. It's like that spit off a Seinfeld with Kramer that lasted a week. It was horrible. They got rid of it. I don't want to see it anymore.
That was pretty bad. Was he? Was he a private eye? What was he? Yes, I think he was. He was a private eye. It was terrible. Yes, you can tell from the.
Chase Alexander had one too. I think for a week too. Did they do a pile on that one too?
Yeah, they both did. And you could tell from the trailer of both shows that they were absolutely going to be terrible. And then, Elaine is actually the one who gets the spinoff that goes through the roof.
Yeah.
And then she gets another blockbuster show and passes them all. So you got
I
that
was hoping
going.
They would bring
there
back Jody Loves Chachi first to see one another again.
Okay, so Zach Thomas now. Zach Thomas, finalist for the Hall of Fame. I know I think he's getting in this year. We've talked about that. I know you feel that this might be his time too. So that's pretty exciting to see him there, and let's hope that you think he's got a good shot here. I know it's a tough class this year. It is.
It's a loaded year this year. It's really a loaded year, but look, if he doesn't get in this year, he's getting in. I think he crossed that threshold where he's on the path to getting in, but I hope so. I hope he gets in this year. It is a crazy bunch of names on there, But
four guarantees.
I just don't get it. Why should he have to wait any longer? Who cares if he's up next? Let them wait. You know what I mean? He's paid his dues. He should have been in a long time ago.
Well, here's the deal.
If you ever watch Zach Thomas play, it doesn't know that he's a Hall of Famer is out of their minds.
Right. Absolutely. Both of us are big time advocates of Zach Thomas making the Hall of Fame and how great he was. Here's the deal. I looked at it. You tell me if you disagree. I see four guarantee guys, first ballot guys. I see Calvin Johnson, Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, and Jared Allen. I think those four are locks to be first ballot. Do you agree with that?
Jared Allen may not get in right away. I mean, I could see him not getting in right away.
So you think Jared Allen might not?
Yeah, Jared Allen may not get in. I mean, he's going to get in, but he may not get in this year. I could see him not getting right in.
Okay, well, there's a couple other really good ones, but those were the guys that jumped out at me as the first ballot guy. So if you take Jared Allen, which I was going back and forth on him, so I understand where you're coming from with that. If you take him out of the first ballot, then I think it really makes things very good for Zach, But I still think Zach gets in even with Jared Allen going on the first ballot, but that's where I've seen that kind of going.
What's the max, 7 or 8?
Well, I thought it was always 8, but I was going to ask you.
Yeah, it could be 8. So he should be all right. What do they got, 15 now, is it, the finalist list?
Is that right? Is it down to only 15?
Is it a finalist list yet, or is it semifinalist?
No, this is finalist.
A finalist? So it should be only 15.
Okay, so then if it is 15, then I think that again makes his case even better, right? I mean,
yeah.
I think he's got a really good shot this year.
They got to do two ceremonies, Because last year was canceled.
They're going to do the other ceremony there. How are they going to do this? Do you know?
I think it's just a longer weekend. I think it's 2 days of it.
All in one?
Yeah, they're doing it. The baseball too. Because they canceled both of those last year, so they have to do 20. They have to do 2019 and then 2020. So I don't think they're on stage together. I think there's two separate ceremonies.
They're going
to
do two separate. Okay.
Another
guy who's on there. Yeah, that would be a nightmare. Oh my goodness!
Oh my
goodness! Steve Young's dad's not giving another speech.
They'd have to put in a week if that was the case.
You have a couple guys that also stood out, like Reggie Wayne, I think, is up this year too, and Peyton Manning is there, and you know how they may be prone to put him in with Peyton Manning, you know?
He's got Marvin Harrison in already, you know? It's not like it's not the same thing, you know what I mean?
Okay, so just because he's there, Reggie Wayne might not be first out?
Yeah, I think Reggie Wayne may not be. It takes receivers a little longer to get it because so many have the same credentials, you know?
And you know they're really big on that first ballot thing, and I think this might be Reggie Wayne's first ballot, right? Or no?
Yeah, it is. It is his first ballot.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So then you also have to look at I think like Rondé Barber, you know, I always told you he's going to be in there. It's just a matter of when. Tony Boselli, Leroy Butler, Alan Faneca, you know how they love the Steelers, but I don't think any of these guys go above Zach. John Lynch, who they've been flirting with, so I guess he's going to have a bust eventually. It's just a matter of when. Clay Matthews, now they've brought him up there. Torrey Holt, Sam Mills, Richard Seymour, you know, those are the guys that he's dealing with. This seems to be a good year. But again, they don't always have to put, and most of the times they don't put the eight. And that's where it could become, you know, problematic, I guess.
Oh, there's no question. You have to get over that threshold, but they can do up to eight, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Richard Seymour is the Hall of Famer, really?
Well, I got to be honest with you, and you'll probably listen. We've had this debate many times, but honestly, I think Teddy Bruschi should be in the Hall of Fame before Richie Seymour. I really do.
Seymour's a Hall of Famer.
And you know, with Zach going in, I think Bruschi will get in eventually. But you know, Bruschi to me was far more important on those Super Bowl defenses than Seymour. You know, so yeah, I have the same feelings as you on Seymour. What's the deal with Willie McGinnis?
I don't know. I never really viewed him as a Hall of Famer either, to tell you the truth.
Okay, so he's not in.
No, he's not in. No.
Okay. Yeah.
I think the only one that got is the quarterback.
Ty Law.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's the only one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, well, they do have him on there, and you know how that generally goes. So, you know how they are with that kind of stuff. All right, you ready to talk some NFL league football games here? Because there were some pretty exciting ones that went around. You know, the first one, I guess, is we start in Buffalo because, you know, we've talked about this team and what they basically were all year. Phillip Rivers and the Indianapolis Colts, they showed up for this game. And it's a shame because they had opportunities that you could actually say they should have won this game, right, Rich?
Well, not for today. I think they could have won it outright. But, I mean, you really can't get into field goal range at the NFL. I mean, you know, you can't even, like, give it a shot. You can't have a 50-yard field goal attempt to just tie it at the end. So disappointing that last drive.
You know, me and you, neither one of us, I would say, are Phillip Rivers fans, I guess you would say. But I think we both have come to respect him a lot more than we ever did. And I got to be honest with you, with what I see go on in the league, I would not have a problem at the end of this guy's career if he's in Canton, Ohio. I really wouldn't, because I see guys that I don't think should be in there, and this guy's played forever in the league, and his stats are crazy. But the one knock has always been that playoff, right? And he's had 14 and two teams, 13 and three at least, but I think he even had a 14 and two team in there somewhere. And so the guy's had some really good teams, and just him and LaDainian Tomlinson just always seem to come up short. And now you have a situation here where Phillip Rivers, for 3.5 quarters, I thought played phenomenal. I thought he played a great game, and I was like, wow. You know, this guy, whether the Colts want to keep him, they're crazy if they don't for another year. But if they want to move on with what goes on in this league with quarterbacks, this guy's going to have plenty of options, I believe, to start on another team if he chooses to stay in the league. And then you get to this last drive where he just needs to get at the field goal range. And the last three please, on that drive. I'm still scratching my head.
My bother. Why did he throw the ball away? Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't know.
I don't understand.
Like that,
I don't understand it either.
That just seemed so strange to me that, you know, that he wasn't able to get into field goal range, and that came down to a Hail Mary, which, by the way, didn't even reach the end zone. That was a very disappointing play at the end.
Yeah, it was 3 yards short. It was awful. And he took forever to throw it.
I don't understand.
You know, he was like
yeah.
Yeah, like, what were you, I guess he was waiting for his guys to get there? I don't know. It just, he just seemed he took forever to, like, release it, and then it was 3 yards short anyway. It was the easiest bat down I've ever seen of a Hail Mary in my life.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad.
Get that in the end zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because even if you catch it there, you never get it in.
I know. Just very strange how that whole thing played out. It really was, you know. So, I don't know. But, you know, so Indianapolis, you know, they're done, and now Buffalo moves on now to the division, and we'll see how good they are, which, you know, Pittsburgh was set to go there, but they rest everybody the week before. Now, this team's been dead for 4 weeks now, so it was just a matter of time, right? But, I mean, even you couldn't have expected 28-0.
Right, I know. It's insane. The most points ever scored in a playoff game in the first quarter now is by the 2020 Cleveland Browns.
Is that the most points? Most points ever in
what? Scored in the first quarter. Yeah, 28 points in the first quarter.
How many Jacksonville put up on us? 24 or something?
Something like that, yeah. But, yeah, 28 is the most ever put up in the first quarter by a playoff team.
Wow, because I would have thought Jacksonville, because that seemed like it was 56 in the first quarter. But I guess it was 24. Must have been 24-0.
The guy must have tripped on the way to the end zone a few times at
the
clock.
must have went into the second quarter. You're absolutely right.
It took Fred Taylor so long to run 98 yards.
Bet you that quarter, the second quarter probably started, and it was probably 31-0 before you could, like, even look at it. You're probably right. It was probably something like that happened.
Yep.
So Cleveland now, I mean, they put up 48 points. It's amazing how Pittsburgh still stayed around, though, right? It was a time there where you thought that Cleveland, is it possible the Browns are going to actually blow this? But,
it wasn't for that pick six. That pick six by Roethlisberger in the third quarter just aced it. They were on there. They were on a little bit of a comeback trail. When he threw that pick six, that was the end.
Now, what are you thinking here? I mean, you see him on the bench after the game, 15 minutes, tears are running down his face. I mean, what does he know that we don't know? Is that, I'm done, I'm not going to be in Pittsburgh again, or am I done, I'm hanging it up, and I'll see you in Canton, Ohio in 5 years? Well, what is that tear?
I think he's in a lot of agony. I don't think he's coming back. I think that's it for him.
That's it, playing football, right?
I do. I think he's happy.
I mean, he went through.
I think he was happy he came back. Then he thought he was going to be winning a Super Bowl again when he was 11-0.
Right,
I think the collapse at the end just solidified it that he's done, you know?
And they are in cap trouble. He's got a very heavy salary, and it seems like they're kind of nudging that they're going to go in another direction. So it's
Did you see that?
They're in bad shape. Yeah, they're not in good shape future-wise here. They're going to hit a roadblock, and it'll be interesting to see how they overcome it, because they are going to be in rough shape now for the first time in a long time.
And they're
going
to be in trouble. They're going to be in third place in that division for a while.
Yeah, it's a good division. I still think, you know, it's still the Browns to me. So let's see. I'm not sold yet. We'll see how it goes.
They got to play Kansas City this week. I mean, what do you think? I mean, they're not going up.
You know what I think. Yeah. I think they'll be the Browns. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I think it comes to an end this week. But let's see. Kansas City not playing great.
Just shows you how important a head coach is, right?
Well, yeah, I mean,
TV at home. They play the best game of the year.
Well, that's a strange one. That's a strange one because, Yeah, it's a weird one. There's no doubt that's a strange one. I don't know how to read that. It's weird. It is very strange. This guy's up for Coach of the Year. He's sitting home and
he has no playoff
play the best game they've played in 25
years. Look at his resume. He doesn't have a playoff win. He's 0-0 in the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. It's a strange one. I think. He might be 0-1 when it's all said and done.
That's what I'm
right
telling you. I'm saying
this.
He's going to get to round two and he's not going to have a win.
Hi, this is Gary Apremian of the undefeated Miami Dolphins 1972 team. I always listen to the Pat Cotello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Cotello, sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Cotello.
One baby to another says I'm lucky to meet you. I'm done.
Miami Dolphins Legend Show as we go to the NFC now, Rich. And actually, before we go the big AFC game, I'm forgetting here. The big game, we've talked, a lot of people said Buffalo was the hottest team in football. Actually, most people said it. But quietly, I think the Baltimore Ravens were certainly making a run for the hottest team, and they did not cool off at all. I mean, they started out behind the eight ball in the beginning, and they just turned it on. Derrick Henry kept in check, but this was the breakout game for Lamar Jackson. I mean, a lot of people, waiting to see, what he was going to be able to do, and so many people, just this was his breakout game, Jay Busby, is a matter of time before he broke out in the playoffs, and boy, that's exactly what he did Sunday. He was just insane.
He started off very slow, but listen, it was a hell of a run. But if I got to hear one more time, it's the greatest run in playoff history.
Well,
I mean, are you kidding me?
A lot of people say, well,
over the top.
Yeah, I mean, it did change the game. I mean, I would still say, greatest run in NFL history. I still think for a quarterback, I still think that Steve Young run is
Steve Young,
insane.
Yeah,
maybe,
I was gonna say, it was a nice run. The guy's fast. We got that. But he made a cut and he went to the outside. He didn't deke anybody. He just used speed and he got to the end zone.
It was pretty impressive.
I'm not saying
it was impressive.
Like it's not the greatest in NFL history.
To get that in the end zone, though, Rich, that was pretty impressive. I mean, the speed.
It was a good run. It was an unbelievable run. It wasn't the greatest in NFL history, though. It's going a
okay. But it was pretty special, though.
And let me tell you something. The announcing yesterday was horrific. The way they were calling plays, and the calling plays going to the booth, still getting it wrong. Romo and Nance had their worst game ever, I think. They were just ridiculously wrong over and over again.
We're gonna get to the NFC, and I'm gonna talk about the two things because obviously Nickelodeon chimed in on this too. I don't know if you caught that,
but the one thing I noticed
more than anything else is the different cameras on the different games, and ABC far inferior to all of them. Like, you were literally, like, sitting in the upper deck shot for most of those plays. I mean, why is that? Like, why didn't they not have...
Refresh my... What game was on ABC? Or ESPN
you're
talking about? Because they own
I
that.
Believe... Yeah, I believe it was... I believe it was the...
I remember changing the stations, but I don't remember what was what sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure if it was... the ABC had the night game, right? Or... Yeah, I'm not sure either. But I just remember looking and how the... it just seemed like their angles were so off. I mean, what, was it the Tennessee game?
It's possible. I really don't remember. That
and,
seems so
and like,
long ago to me.
You know, it seemed like they had just like much more above angles, if you know what I mean. You know, they couldn't get anything.
Yeah.
You know, like when you watch NBC. Wait, NBC. Collinsworth is where?
That's NBC.
By far the best. Yes. Okay. So it's not that. Not that. Their angles and their cameras seemed so much better than anybody's. But CBS seemed okay. But I just thought that
him and Michaels were off yesterday too. With analyzing plays and stuff, they were just so off base, like with fumbles, and if it was a fumble, and a this and that, and it's like, God, guys, I mean, what are you watching? Then I heard Romo wasn't even there. Romo was doing it from his house? Is that true?
Yeah, I think there was a COVID thing, and he was at home, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, so
ridiculous.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, was he watching on a 19-inch Emerson or something? What the hell was
that? I don't know why he, you know, whether he was in quarantine or... Maybe he was in quarantine.
So
I'm not sure.
Somebody else that could go. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean,
right.
You know how it is. When we're watching the multiple TV sets. Some aren't even on the same feed, right? It's like they're 2 seconds delay sometimes. Sometimes it's more than that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. Get somebody else there.
Yeah.
Collinsworth. He was going through me yesterday like a knife through a ligament.
Well,
he was driving me crazy. Oh God!
You
just
don't like
him
to begin
already.
With.
No,
don't
I
like
can't
him
stand
to begin
him.
With.
He was just killing me yesterday. And him and Michaels were making mistakes. Romo and Nance had his worst game I ever saw in my life. Nance was ridiculous. That ball bounced right to him. Oh, it hit the ground. That's a touchdown. No, it isn't. Nance. He never caught the ball in the beginning. And he's going, and he's like all excited, doing the whole thing like Harlan on the radio, you know, like all excited about this touchdown that's gonna come back anyway.
He's wearing
like,
white pants. They have a stripe.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, he's past the midfield stripe. I mean, God, the ball hit the ground. I'm looking at him
now,
like, really, dude.
All right. So, in the NFC, Tampa. You know, Alex Smith, you know, I guess it's a little bit of a letdown, right, that he wasn't able to go. It's weird, though. I mean, I'm in the camp that I can't believe he even came back, and I have no problem with Alex Smith just saying thank you and take the comeback player of the year and just go off into the sunset, have a great life, you know. I mean, I'm kind of almost hoping that's what he does. But,
yeah, I don't
want to
see him ever get hurt again. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? What's weird is, like, you know what's weird? Like, that guy they brought in off for the Arena League, right? He's 27 years old.
Yeah.
He looked fantastic, right?
He did. I mean, he did.
Right?
Apparently,
explain to me how this guy comes off the street, right? Arena League guy. He doesn't even know half the players, right? And he plays like that. And then you get, like, the guy in Philadelphia brought in that's been in the league 4 years. Played a full college career, right? And it looks like he never picked up a football before. How does that happen?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just a matter of just guys getting the opportunity, like Kurt Warner or whatever, to get overlooked. But the one thing that I thought of when I saw that, Rich, is I said to myself, don't think they don't know this, and Ron Rivera has seen something in this kid, and that made that Hoskins decision, that much more easier for him. I think that you can tie that.
I understand that, but you know as well as I do, Pat, that you get guys who are like career backups, and they've been there forever, and then they got to go in the game, and they practice with the team all the time, and they look like they never picked up a football before. And this kid comes off the street, right? Boom, and he's throwing perfect spirals, hitting guys in stride. It's crazy, right? It's like,
yeah, he was on. You know, it's a shame he got hurt like that. It would have been interesting to see, you know, how it would have kind of ended or whatever. But, yeah, Henneke was, he was very impressive, and it'll be interesting to see how they move in the future with him. And if it was just what's that guy from Dallas in the Thanksgiving game?
Yeah,
Didn't
he have a fight with Staubach or something, and they got rid of him after that?
Starbuck punched him in the face and got rid of him. Yeah, Chuck. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. The Thanksgiving day.
Yes. Okay, so now Brady gets past, you know, he looked good. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, if they're able to continue on here, but that they get rid of Washington. The Rams, they got beaten up. Looking past a lackluster Seattle team, but Aaron Donald hurt and Kupp hurt too. Hurt that knee again, Rich. Have you had any updates on that?
No, they haven't heard. It was nothing today about either one of them. They're very quiet. I mean, Kupp looked a lot worse than Donald. Do you think Donald's not coming back though?
I think he's going to come back, but he'll probably be, you know, take some for the pain. And the question is, you know, how much. You know, is he going to be Aaron Donald at 70%? I think he'll be in the game. I just don't know if he'll be full strength, Aaron Donald. We'll see. And obviously they are playing, you know, the Green Bay Packers. So it's you know, going to be something that, you know, you're going to kind of have to be full strength in that game. But, you know, we'll see. And then I thought Chicago had multiple opportunities to do something, and they just did not want that game.
They
it was unbelievable. But I mean, they had so many opportunities to have the lead, to do this, and they just did not want it. I mean, even when they were given it.
At the end of the game, why did they have to kick the extra point? What's the rule there?
I don't know what the rule is. I thought you had to. I don't know.
And you know that screwed up a lot of people, you know.
It did even at that for like a three-team teaser or something.
I think the regular spread was like right around there too. Yeah.
Well, how could it be right around there? I mean, they won 21-9.
11.5. Yeah, I think like 11.5 points. I think the
was that
like
high.
That. Yeah. Something like that.
So why didn't they have to?
High.
Yeah. So why didn't they have to kick that?
I don't know. You know, the announcers didn't understand that either. They go, "I thought you had to kick this thing."
Yeah, I.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's very interesting. Why they didn't have to do that?
I've seen teams take a knee to do that. You ever see that one? I've seen that twice. Where instead of kicking,
take a knee and sacrifice it.
So. They just sacrifice it because, you know, that thing is where you can take the ball back if it's a block or whatever, if it's a close game.
Right.
I've seen them just, like, you know, muff it on purpose. You just take a knee and that's it, you know?
That's interesting.
You give it up.
Okay, so.
But, not as brutal.
No, it's very rough.
You know? Yeah.
So now, getting the matchups that you see, they're all pretty good ones here. What's your feelings? Let's start with the big game. You know, you kind of want it later. It maybe makes things easier for Kansas City. But Baltimore or Buffalo, that should be a good game. Like, where do you see this going here? Does Baltimore continue on here? Is Buffalo still going to be the
It's one of those games I wish they both would lose. You know, I really – that's an aggravating one either way. So I don't really – I dislike both teams a lot.
But it's a lot more aggravating one way, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't want Buffalo winning it. I know that. I don't want to see them in a championship game. You know, But it's bad. It's a no win situation there. You know, because both of them
Cleveland
hell out of us all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Cleveland, do they have any shot going to Kansas City this week? I mean, we say no, but dude, 28 points they put up. That offense looked unstoppable for a bit.
Well, yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, no. Okay.
Okay.
No chance. No.
Okay.
No way.
All right, Tampa, New Orleans. I mean, that's the NFC game that's appealing, right? Breeze, Brady. That should be a good one.
Well, the first two weren't that great. You know, Breeze beat them.
No, they weren't.
The first two
they were terrible, actually. They both were terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, Tampa got blown out.
The Saints are.
Are we
going to
see that
again? Yeah.
Are we
going to
see that again?
Yeah, I think so. There's a team in the division.
You do.
I think they beat them soundly for the third time. Yes.
And the Rams, like we said, beat up, and I guess a lot of that has to do with how beat up they are. Is Culp going to play? Is Donald going to play?
They have no chance either. The quarterback
situation
is a disaster. No chance. The Green Bay beats them up easy. It's a warm weather team going to the frigid cold. They have no chance whatsoever. You know how those California teams never do well there.
Okay, and real quick, I've been waiting for this. Well, first let me say, NFL news came in. Dan Quinn gets hired as the defensive coordinator
Cowboys.
For the Cowboys. A little surprised by
that?
It's a great move for the Cowboys. A little surprised by that, though, Rich? A lot of vacancies still in the NFL coaching. A little surprised he jumped right into that? There's had to be some play for him, no?
It could have been, but I bet Jerry gave him probably head coaching money to do it.
And I guess there's also something to be said when you're taking over for a team that the head coach probably would have been fired in any other year but his first year.
Bingo,
so I guess
bingo, bingo,
yeah.
Bingo.
Okay. Okay. And finally,
the heir to the throne there. Yep.
How long do you have after winning a Super Bowl, how long do you have security? Well, the answer to that is 3 years, my
friend. 3 years.
3 years. You are out the door. And it's an improbable Super Bowl victory, too, against Goliath, and you're still out in 3 years. One of the biggest upsets in history, and you're out in 3 years. So Doug Peterson fired. He has big-time connection to the Jets GM. Yeah, to Joe Douglas, the Jets GM, a lot of connections there. What's your feeling as he becomes the Jets? I mean, that seems to be the front runner. And what's your feelings if he does go to the Jets?
They're also interviewing Marvin Lewis tomorrow, the Jets.
Yeah, I've heard that too. But what's your feelings on it, on Peterson, if he does go to the Jets?
I don't know. Does this guy love Peterson?
Supposedly they're very close, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good shot, then. You know?
Yeah, what's your feeling on it? We have a couple of minutes here. I just wanted to know what you're feeling on Doug Peterson as a coach. I mean,
I don't think he's Vince Lombardi at any means. I think he's like, you know, after that win, he's basically broken that team down and he's made it.
Hold on. Let me get my pen. Rich, Doug Peterson, not Vince Lombardi. Okay, go ahead. Thanks for that insight.
I'm still aggravated about him that he couldn't hold a snap from center in the 325 game, you know?
Yes, that was coming up. I knew that was coming up. Only the true Dolphin fans can get that reference. And then there's a bunch of them out there, I know. Our diehards have gotten that reference, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
And I remember you. Bugs Bunny can't even I remember it.
Yeah, he still owes me some money.
Jeez. So is he the kind of guy that can...
Yes,
we got it. Can he turn the Jets around? Is this the guy that you would not be happy with taking over the reins of the Jets for the next 5 years?
I would not have a problem with him going there because I don't think he'll be successful. But if Marvin Lewis needs a ride to the facility to sign the contract, I'm in.
Well, I have some different thoughts on that. You'll have to wait till next week. And by the way, Chuck Longley was the Dallas Cowboy quarterback on
Chuck
Thanksgiving.
Chuck Longley, yes. Did he punch Staubach or did Staubach punch him?
I think Staubach punched him, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
All right, thanks for joining us. Yeah, maybe you're probably right. See you next week.
Took a look down a westbound road. Right away I made my choice. Headed out to my big two-wheeler. I was tired of my own boy. Took a beat on the northern plains and just rolled that power on. Thank you.